Hello and welcome. My name is Sylvie Bovanik, and I'm joined by my colleague Claire Cody here at the International Center researching child sexual exploitation, violence and trafficking at the University of Bedfordshire in the UK. In this podcast, we'll be sharing the learning from a research study exploring peer support for young people who have experienced sexual violence. This research was undertaken as part of the Our Voices 2 project, funded by the Oak Foundation and coordinated by the International Center at the University of Bedfordshire. Welcome, Claire.
Thanks.
Firstly, can you say a little bit about the aims of the research project and why the study was needed?
Of course. So firstly, we know from research there's increasing recognition of the role that friends can play in supporting young people who've experienced sexual violence. So for example, research has shown that young people routinely disclose information about sexual abuse to friends and that friends can provide significant support. But there's limited knowledge about the role of peers in supporting young people affected by sexual violence. So those individuals who may not be friends, may not be the same age, but have shared experiences related to sexual violence. And this is interesting and in contrast to other fields. So for example, if we think about the mental health field, there's growing evidence that illustrates the value of support provided by peer supporters or peer providers. So those who have shared experiences of mental health problems, and therefore insight and understanding of what that can really feel like. Secondly, we also know from the young people that we work with at the International Centre, across different projects and different initiatives, that they feel that some form of peer support or group work with others with shared experiences has been really helpful for them or could be helpful for other young people. And then finally, we also know from recent evaluations of different peer mentoring initiatives, so peer mentoring being kind of one example of peer support, that these have shown promising results for young people affected by sexual exploitation. So with all this in mind, it appeared to be kind of a good time to explore further peer support in this field. So this research really aimed to understand more from those involved in peer support initiatives for young people affected by sexual violence about the value of these, but also some of the challenges and tensions that exist in trying to implement these types of interventions.
Thank you, Claire. Would you mind sharing a little bit about the research itself?
Yeah, of course. So just to say firstly, there are details about the research that are available in a series of briefing papers that are available on the Our Voices website. But in summary, the primary method really involved interviewing 25 different respondents based across Europe and North America. And 18 of those respondents were involved in setting up peer support programs or supporting, supervising, or managing peer supporters and peer mentors. We also interviewed 7 peer supporters, so individuals who had provided peer support to other young people. I guess it's also important to say that there was a missing dimension from this study, and that was the voices of young people who had been supported through these initiatives. So the perspective shared did not capture that particular element. But we were able to interview respondents from 12 different organisations and initiatives. And out of those 12 organisations, 7 were focused on providing peer mentoring. So where individuals with lived experience were either employed by the organisation or worked in a voluntary capacity to support young people affected by sexual violence, predominantly young people affected by sexual exploitation and trafficking. The other respondents from the other organisations and initiatives were involved in different types of peer support. So that included group work, peer-led facilitation of workshops, support groups and other kind of more general peer-based activities and support.
Thank you, Claire, for giving that background and clarifying the methodology you used in the study. So what were the key findings from the research?
Yeah, so as part of the briefing papers that we've developed one that looks at the value of peer support and the benefits of that, and then another briefing paper that looks specifically at some of the tensions, challenges, along with some of the strategies that were identified by respondents to mitigate some of those problems. So firstly, in terms of the value then, what we found was that peer support initiatives were viewed as valuable mainly for the emotional and social support that they provide to young people. And it was noted that this was sometimes the focus was a little bit different than other mainstream support services that might be focusing more on dealing with immediate problems or addressing specific concerns such as health issues or housing issues. Whereas peer support and the support provided in those relationships and through those activities was more fluid, and it was really led by the young person. So the young person could determine what they wanted to talk about during this time and how they wanted to spend their time. And a lot of that was about engaging in what was described as kind of normal activities. So respondents talked about the role of peer supporters as accompanying young people to appointments and meetings, but also doing kind of everyday normal activities like going for coffee, going shopping, eating out at restaurants, and engaging in different creative activities, but also helping young people to engage and connect with other services and resources in the community as well. So there was some real value in terms of that kind of emotional and general social support that these initiatives could provide young people with. Respondents also were very clear that there was something quite unique and different when support was provided by peers, so those with lived experience. And there were three key dimensions that were identified in regards to this. So that a young person can relate to a peer supporter can translate for them, and a peer supporter can act as a role model providing hope for the future. So overwhelmingly, respondents spoke about how those with lived experience were often seen as more credible sources of information. So what they had to say had more impact and more weight with young people, and that young people felt better understood as they knew that the person speaking with them had experienced something similar. And therefore there was this kind of natural connection that was really evident from the respondents. And one respondent also talked about how in their program, they had found that when young people were talking about kind of the value of, in this case, kind of peer mentors, it was the fact that they could translate for them when working with other professionals. So the peer supporter or the peer mentor could act as a kind of translator and mediator, ensuring that the professionals knew what was going on for the young person and the young person could kind of speak through them. And then thirdly, there was also recognition that there was value for young people in seeing others who had survived their experiences and were further on in the process of recovery. And that this was really important because it instilled this kind of sense of hope in young people that their future could be brighter, that things could get better and things would improve over time. And again, this was seen as a really valuable dimension of having a peer supporter involved when supporting young people.
Thank you. And did any of the respondents in your study share examples where young people did not want to engage in peer support or work specifically with those with lived experience?
Yeah, so some respondents did share that they felt that some of the young people they worked with may not want to work with peer supporters, so those with lived experience. However, others did share that actually they'd never had a young person turn down that opportunity. But what seemed to be more important was the realization that lived experience alone did not automatically determine a connection or in the context of a mentoring relationship, a good match, but there were other things to think about. So a number of respondents talked about the importance of considering how relatability between peers could be enhanced. And when talking about mentoring in particular, a number of respondents talked about matching and the importance of really trying to match the peer mentor with the mentee. And they talked about things to consider in terms of matching, like language, shared cultural backgrounds, gender, sexual orientation, ethnicity, geography, and experience. So respondents felt that trying to match for these would hopefully develop a kind of a better relationship and better source of support. So for example, one respondent talked about how when they were working with young people where there was gang involvement as part of that young person's kind of story, that they would try to match that person with a mentor who also had experienced and had this understanding of that dimension in terms of their experiences.
So it sounds like there are a number of potential benefits for the young person being supported. Were there any benefits to the peer supporter, so the one providing the support?
Yeah, so again, respondents talked a lot about how they felt that engaging in these initiatives could really be helpful for those individuals who were providing the support. So they talked about engaging in this work as helping to build confidence and skills, but also something that I think is really interesting is that it could help these individuals to reframe their experiences in some way, so give meaning to their past negative experiences. So, for example, respondents talked about how peer supporters had said to them that helping young people was a bit like a silver lining. It was the silver lining pulling something positive out of the harm that they had experienced. So there was something really powerful about that. And respondents talked about how in their conversations with peer supporters, they talked about how this experience, being able to help other young people, could really change someone's whole life and their purpose as well. Interestingly, one respondent also shared how involving peers in programs was beneficial not just to the peer supporters, but to the whole organization. And she felt that through research, actually, they'd identified that there was better engagement from young people in their services as a whole when individuals with lived experience were involved. So it appeared that there were a number of benefits on a number of different levels.
Great. And you mentioned that there was also some key findings around some of the challenges that can face peer supporters and those setting up these types of initiatives. Could you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. And like I said as well, there is a briefing paper looking specifically at the challenges and tensions. But I guess to begin with, it's really important to recognize that although obviously such initiatives could potentially bring a lot of value to the young people involved in the organizations, respondents were very clear that with any intervention involving young people affected by sexual violence, it's important to be really aware and attuned to the fact that young people can have very complex needs and maybe living in chaotic circumstances. So respondents were really clear that it's really critical for anyone that's planning these types of support programs and initiatives to have experience of working with this group of young people and an understanding of those kind of key issues that young people may face. And respondents also shared that from their own experience that setting up peer support initiatives shouldn't kind of be taken lightly, and that it was important for individuals and organizations to seek out advice and support from others who had more experience of facilitating and managing and setting up these types of initiatives. So seeking out support and learning from others was seen as a really key point. But in terms of the barriers and challenges, one of the aspects that came up with a few respondents was around barriers to recruitment. So specifically where organizations were seeking to employ and hire peer supporters onto their staff teams. So respondents shared, for example, that in some instances, individuals who would make, you know, fantastic peer supporters may not always have the right educational qualifications or experience that would be expected of other staff members that were being employed by that organization. They also shared that in some cases, whilst they were trying to employ peer supporters, that some of those individuals might have previous kind of minor legal issues like parking tickets and other things that could impact on their ability to gain employment. So respondents talked about the fact that if organisations were actually employing peer supporters, that it was really important to try to amend and change some of the policies to overcome some of those barriers that might be in place, though obviously prioritising the safeguarding of young people at the same time. Respondents also shared some challenges where peer supporters, so those with lived experiences, are brought into organisations but have an unclear role within the staff teams. So some respondents talked about tensions where individuals were brought in just because they had lived experience, but they weren't necessarily given a clear role and they weren't always supported in the same way that other staff members might be to professionally develop and grow. And that this was a problem because it could limit them and limit how they were viewed by other professionals as well. Respondents talked a lot about the importance of paying peer staff and peer supporters on equitable terms to other staff members, and about investing in peer supporters as you would with any employee, particularly around kind of training and development. Respondents also shared things about the value and importance of kind of the leadership of organizations and non-peer staff kind of recognizing and understanding the value and the expertise that peer supporters can bring and trying to really kind of demonstrate and illustrate that through actions in regards to paying peer supporters, but also ensuring kind of different levels of employment for them as well.
Great, thank you. And did the findings identify any learning specifically around readiness? So when an individual with lived experience may be ready to take on the role of supporting other young people?
Yeah, that was an area where there was a lot of discussion about kind of readiness and finding the right people to become peer supporters. And respondents who had been involved in peer support initiatives for a number of years shared lots of different strategies to try to assess readiness. And when employing peer supporters, this included kind of screening at interview to understand kind of three main things, really. One was around what support individuals had access to deal with those experiences and any other problems or issues surrounding trauma. Secondly, it was about trying to understand and assess an individual's distance and perspective from their experiences, so where they were in terms of how they viewed those experiences and understood them. And then thirdly, respondents talked about how important it was, and this was something they looked at for an interview, was to understand self-care strategies. So how were these individuals maintaining their health and well-being, and how they were they accessing support? And this was seen as a really critical piece in being able to take on these types of roles. As well, respondents spoke about the importance of building in a period of shadowing and training for new peer supporters. So not just kind of throwing them into kind of very in-depth tasks, but allowing them to kind of transition into those roles and allowing individuals to gradually kind of take on more responsibilities over time once they had got used to working in that workplace and dealing with some of these issues.
That makes sense. Thank you. Was there any specific learning about some of the challenges peer supporters may face once in the job? So when they're supporting young people?
Yeah, there was a number of discussions about some of the problems and challenges. And one of the main ones, probably not surprisingly, was around the potential for triggering to occur when individuals were supporting others, particularly when they were listening to others' experiences of sexual violence, but also when they were potentially drawing on their own experiences. And some of the strategies to kind of help reduce the risk of triggering, including helping peer supporters to think about and set some boundaries over when and how they draw on and share some of their own personal experiences. And this was a really interesting point because there was very different perspectives about how necessary or helpful it was for peer supporters to kind of share personal details around their own experiences of sexual violence. And these perspectives ranged from respondents feeling it was really central to the peer supporter's role in establishing that relationship with the young person to share some of these elements and experiences. Whereas other respondents talked about the fact that sharing personal stories was not encouraged at all. So there's a real kind of range of views on how central sharing those experiences was. However, what appeared to be really important is to recognize that individuals need to determine their own boundaries and set those for themselves in regards to what kind of level of comfort they have in sharing some of these experiences. And that will be different for individuals. And another aspect was ensuring, in terms of dealing with the potential of triggering, that peer supporters had a range of support in place. And again, this was seen as a really central part of setting up peer support initiatives. So respondents talked about the importance of having kind of regular formal supervision of peer supporters with other staff members, but also having access to and being encouraged to gain support outside of work as well. So respondents talked about encouraging peer supporters to access their own therapy or group support sessions, or just doing things like yoga and exercising and making sure that they were kind of keeping healthy throughout this process, because it was quite a draining job to be supporting young people affected by these issues. In addition to setting boundaries around kind of sharing of one's own experiences, there were a number of other boundaries that were mentioned that could be challenging for peer supporters. So for example, one was around peer supporters understanding their role as a supporter rather than as someone that was there to provide professional counseling or therapy to young people. So understanding kind of the limits of that role. Also attached to that is recognizing the limits of what the peer supporter can do for that young person in terms of influencing change or fixing their problems. So understanding that actually a lot of that has to come from the young person themselves. So knowing kind of where that power was and how much somebody could do to influence a young person's life. Respondents also talked about boundaries in terms of contact time. So making sure that peer supporters didn't feel that they were constantly on the phone or being contacted. So being quite clear around those boundaries. And then another one that was quite interesting that was discussed was around the role of the peer supporter and balancing being a confidant and a friend to a young person with the knowledge that they also had safeguarding responsibilities. So knowing that certain information might need to be passed on to other staff members if there's concerns about the young person, and some of the difficulties around how to handle that when working with young people and developing that kind of close relationship. And some felt that this was particularly difficult for peer supporters who had experienced something similar. And again, when thinking about how to kind of deal with some of these challenges, respondents talked about how important it was that there were resources available from within the supporting organisation or outside to be able to kind of signpost young people onto those different forms of support so that the peer supporter didn't feel that they had to take on all these kind of different needs and aspects of support that young person might need. And also things around obviously setting boundaries around kind of contact time and being really clear and transparent when it came to information sharing so that everybody knew kind of the limits of confidentiality, for example. So there are a number of things to consider really when setting up and designing these types of interventions around how to support peer supporters to do that job and some of the things that need to be in place to do it well.
Great. Thank you for sharing some of the key findings from this interesting study. Claire, where can listeners go to find out more about the research?
Yep. So as I said, there's a number of briefing papers and different blog pieces, etc., all on our website. So that is our-voices.org.uk. And as I say, there'll be more information about the study and the findings on there.
Thank you very much, Claire Cody.
Thanks, Sylvie.